They're in almost every church. The Lord uses them to move mountains. And you might have one in your family or even be one yourself. I'm talking about what Christians sometimes call prayer warriors. Dedicated servants of Christ who serve Him and His church faithfully and often in the background. And boy, do we need those prayer warriors. Hi, I'm David Wolin. I'm the host and president of Haven Today, and you're listening to the Great Stories podcast. And you know, there's great power in prayer, far more often than we dare to believe. And that's why I wanted to share with you today a conversation that I had with someone who spends much of his time receiving prayer requests and then lifting up those burdens before the Lord. His name is Horst Fiebig. I really look up to this man. He's someone I hope to emulate in the years ahead, and you'll hear Horst sharing his insights about persevering in prayer and not losing heart. Horst is now in his 80s, and he is full of energy and fervor in the ministry God has called him to, this ministry of prayer. And I know you'll be so blessed by him, as I have been as you listen. But before we jump into that, I first want to mention that as our thanks for your gift of any amount to this listener-supported ministry of Haven, we'd like to send you a resource that our team at Haven has really come to appreciate. It's designed to help parents pray for grown-up children, a little book simply called Prayers of a Parent for Adult Children, written by Kathleen Nielsen. This is a short, sweet, to-the-point book, exactly what you want in a book like this. 31 scripture-focused prayers, topical guides, a variety of prayer themes to help you have words and biblical content for the prayers that you're likely already praying for adult children that the Lord has put on your heart. And this book could be God's solution to help you take a step forward in your prayer life, something that's so important for every Christian. So to make your gift to support Haven and receive your copy today as our thank you, just visit haventoday.org. And now let's go ahead and get started. I want you to meet my friend, Horst Fiebig. This is Haven Today. I'm David Wolin, and across from me is a man that I have had the pleasure of knowing for a number of years now. Every Sunday, Horst Fiebig, you are standing at the door welcoming people into church. You've had a profound effect on a number of lives, a number of people in our church for so many years. And one of the main ways that you've impacted the body of Christ in a powerful way is through prayer. I don't think it would be an exaggeration to say that I have known few prayer warriors, if I can use that term, as dedicated as you are within the church. And I don't say that to puff you up, but simply to state how the Lord has used you. So, Horst Fiebig, welcome for the first time to Haven Today.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I came to faith late in life. Not late, but I was in my 30s already. Mm. And the Billy Graham Crusade was the first notch that tore down my protection.
And do you remember which one that was?
In 1970 in Chicago.
Okay.
And a friend of ours had invited me, who also had an effect later on as a mentor. But he invited me to a Bible study at his church, the first time I set foot in a church. And I thought, of being from Germany, that church people all wear black and long dresses. And so I went to the church, and the Bible study consisted of a city manager, a doctor, a lawyer, and the seriousness with which they look at the Bible just shook me. I said, how can you be serious about this? So that started me to reading God's Word. Mm-hmm. And I was grateful that God never put any reason into me to ask, why did you say this, God? I just accepted what I read mm-hmm. as gospel, as mm-hmm. the truth, and whatever I thought had to go. So that was my first step. And then I went to a church, although the preaching was sort of shallow.
It was shallow teaching.
Shallow teaching, a lot of singing, a lot of good music, but the preaching itself was not in the gospel grace message.
Yes,
it was feel good and do good, do well, a lot of work theology really that underneath. So we left that church and went to the current church, the predecessor of our current church.
Yes, that's right.
And the first time I heard expositionally preaching, and that blew me away. You know, this is where I want to be.
Hmm.
So we went there, kept going, and we met a man by the name of Phil Bloom. And Bloom was Phil Bloom, he's dead now. He was a prayer.
Hmm.
Prayer was his forte.
Hmm.
You mentioned something, a problem. He said, let's pray, and pulled me over, and we pray about it.
So right there on the spot.
It was right on the spot.
Phil Bloom wanted to pray with you.
And that, you know, I'm a short shy. That wasn't for me, you know. But I saw how I liked it, though.
Yes.
And then Phil and I started visiting with each other on our birthdays. Each one bought breakfast, and we talked about it, prayed. And he started the one-on-one prayer where he signed up people in the church. Do you want to pray with somebody weekly? Man to man, woman to woman. And people signed up, and he matched these people together.
Mm.
And to this day, I pray with my guys.
Hmm.
You really become part of that family.
Hmm.
You know, you see their kids grow up. You prayed for the kids, and you prayed for their sorrows. You prayed for their joys, and you just become part of their life. I love that.
Hmm.
And that helps you all grow in your prayer. You know, this one-on-one, I really like this, you know.
Yes. Well, let me ask you about that. What does it look like? I mean, you can look back now and in retrospect, see where you were and where you've grown. How did you need to grow in prayer?
Well, first of all, to shed the fear of it or the shyness of it on, you know, praying to the living God, the living God. That you guaranteed your to hear your prayer and sometimes answers it.
Mm.
We have to realize that too, that he does answer every prayer, definitely not with a yes, you know.
Yes.
A yes, a no, a wait a while is very much a part of the makeup, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He is not obligated to us. You know?
Yeah.
But we are commanded to come to prayer.
Yes.
So how did it affect me? Well, to pray more. And to practice what he practiced in front of me, to pray over the phone with somebody, you know, completely unknown to me. I thought secret prayer is the only prayer that you pray. It's important, but it's not the only way to pray, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the one-on-one is really comfortable to me now. And people sometimes ask you when I sent these emails out with a prayer.
Yes.
Sometimes they call back and say, came at the right time. Would you pray for this or for this?
Yeah.
And could I meet with you?
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because I don't think we've actually talked about your discipline with prayer within the local body of the church that you're a part of. What is your discipline?
That started really with, I've heard many times that pastors say, I pray through the directory of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how in the world do you do this? Now with email, it's very easy to do, you know. You put your prayer on in words and send it to them.
Yeah. So what's your weekly rhythm? What does that look like?
About two a day. I pray about for two people, two families a day, and send them an email, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then if their response is, obviously, I respond to that.
Yeah, so whether they respond to you or not, you are praying with them,
but you
let them know and you ask, how can I pray for you?
And the rhythm is every, with the number of our church, it amounts to that I talk to them or pray for them about three times a year, in a year.
Three times a year. Well, I have gotten those emails, my wife and I have gotten those emails from you, and I can't tell you how much it has ministered to us, even just to know that someone is praying for us. And of course, we know and believe that our God listens, and there is tremendous power in prayer. And as you said, there's an importance to praying not only with some discipline and regularity yourself in your quiet time or just during the day with your spouse, but it's important to be praying with other people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The responses I get when I started out, 10 years ago I started that. When I started out, there was no response.
Uh-huh. People didn't respond.
Of course, you don't know whether they even read it. You know, it's an email. I didn't talk to them. And then the second time or third time, so by about three times after a year, then people responded, you know, to either thank me or gave me some prayer material that I can pray. Or then again, I say, can I pray for you right now? You know, and so it kind of evolves and you become more comfortable. And the people become more confident with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Because some of them I have never seen.
Yes.
Or at least not known by name.
Yes.
I use a name, but and then sometimes I say, I don't really know we are acquainted, but we have the same hope. And then my prayer, and then hopefully they identify themselves when I greet them on Sunday morning. You know.
Oh, my goodness. Horst, I've heard it said that a good politician will never ask a question they don't already know the answer to, but I'm not a politician, so I'm going to ask you a question I don't know the answer to. But I'll lead in with this. At Haven, we have a ministry of prayer that we've had for decades. And every opportunity we have, whether it's online interactions with people or things that they send back to us in the mail, or just inviting them over the phone or over the air, tell us what we can pray for. We want to pray for you. And then our team does. And so we have a lot of prayer requests that come in. And we've noticed, and I think this has been true for a while, but it's reached a peak in the last few years, that the most common thing we get prayer requests for is parents with a tremendous sense of burden for their adult children. And of course, that's a wide range. You can have an adult child who's 20 or an adult child who's 60. You know, it just kind of depends on your age and life stage there and their life stage. But the burden is very deep and very real. And a lot of times it's related to them wandering from Christ, of the lifestyle that they've decided to live in. People that have rejected faith entirely. And it's such a big thing that it's one of the reasons why we just dedicated this week to the theme of parents praying for their adult children. I'm curious, have you seen a similar phenomenon in your own prayer ministry? Are there other categories that rise to the surface as well? What has been your observation?
Well, we would qualify what you're saying, because we have the same situation in our family. You know, grandkids, adult grandchildren that don't live for Christ at all. You know, children, great-grandchildren don't even go to church because the parents don't see the importance of it.
Yes.
So I can identify with this. But no, I cannot see that it's a predominant in the requests that I get. There's another category of, I call them Sunday morning widows, who are not married to a believer.
Yes.
And they come by themselves.
Yes.
You know? Or they go to a different church, or they don't want to change. But the wife comes and regularly comes and attends and so on.
Yes.
So for those widows, I pray that they would, for those widows, so to, call,
yes.
so to speak, I call and pray for that they would be united in faith. You know, right?
It's funny you should say that, Horst. I literally just got back from Cuba yesterday and was having some conversations with national denominational leaders of the country, of some different churches. And the biggest denomination in the country observed that 75% of the church is female in Cuba. And there are a number of reasons for that. But this phenomenon of the women or the wives going to church and the husbands having little or no interest in faith. And I can only imagine the impact that then has on their children and their families as time rolls forward. And, you know, where do the children end up? So these are deep burdens that people feel and carry, and that drives them to their knees in prayer. Horst, I'm curious if you have any particular stories or anecdotes or a way that you've seen the Lord answer prayer in a way that has bolstered your faith and also your confidence to continue your efforts in prayer.
Scripture has a beautiful example. You know, the French scientist Blaise Pascal made the statement, God gave his people the dignity of cause, being able to affect the effect, the events happening. Mm. And the example is in Isaiah 37, Hezekiah and Isaiah. Mm-hmm. The two examples where Hezekiah was down on the dumps. One of them, Sennacherib, was on the door, knocking on the door, and he prayed. Mm. And what happened? Sennacherib was led by the hook away by God.
Yes.
He said God caused it. The other example is a little later when Hezekiah was sick, ready to die, and he prayed, and God extended his life by 15 years.
Yes.
And Isaiah said, Hezekiah, because you prayed.
Because
God
you prayed.
This, you know. Yeah. These are examples that encourage you to pray. You know?
Yes.
I mean, he was desperate. He was ready to die, Hezekiah. He was ready to be taken over by the Assyrians. But because you prayed. I mean, right in Scripture, we have these examples of encouragement. That encouraged me a lot, you know, when you write from Scripture, you know. But personally, we had example of a daughter having cancer. We prayed for her. She is a believer. Was a believer before, but she was saved from the cancer, and she lives it now. She lives a life very disciplined for Christ. Prayer not only works on the people that you pray for, it works on you.
It does.
Yeah. People That's say, right. does prayer work? Yeah.
Yes.
You can say that because it works on you.
That's right. That's right.
You become a different person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You do. Well, it's communion with God.
Yeah. It warms your heart. You know what I mean?
It does. It does. My wife loves to say something. She got it from somewhere else, but every time I hear someone say it, I think of her. She says, our prayers never expire.
Right.
You know, sometimes the Lord answers prayers that we even forgot we prayed a long time ago, but he doesn't forget.
Yeah. And that examples, Arthur Whitchurch is a good example.
That's right.
Because his parents stopped praying for the kidney.
So let's back up. So I'm thinking, Horst, actually of a great example within our church. And there's a young man, he's 16 years old now, but I think it was at least 8 years ago or more, his kidneys failed and he'd been on dialysis. And Sunday after Sunday, week after week on the prayer list, has been this prayer request for a kidney for this young man. And as the years wore on and no kidney. And you can only be on dialysis the way he is for so long. There's a time limit, and his time was beginning to run out. I think 10 years it was the time limit the doctors had given. We were getting very close to that, and some of the physical symptoms were beginning to increase. And then, what was it, Horst?
Well, the kidney became available all of a sudden. Now, Patrick, heard his dad, is a prayer partner of mine. Mm. And for years, we prayed for this, and he said, well, because of my son's blood condition, the kidney's probably won't be available.
Yes.
So he really, they were not hoping for that. We are praying for that, but not with really, you know, expectancy. And all of a sudden, kidney became available.
Yeah.
Surgery was easy. The kid is jumping around. He was at the dinner last night or Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an answered prayer, even though we were not intense in praying for it anymore. Right?
Yes. Well, it was there. We continued to pray for it a little bit. But there's some prayers that you pray for years and years and years, or maybe even decades on end. Mm-hmm. And you can begin to feel that, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Why should I continue to pray? But then the Lord can answer those prayers in his time, the time of his choosing.
Mm. Like your wife said, you never stop praying.
Yeah, that's right. Our prayers never expire. Horst, I don't know about you, but sometimes, especially if I'm spiritually exhausted or physically exhausted, or I've been praying for something so long that it's almost like words fail me. There have been a number of different times I've turned to a different one resource or another and have found a lot of comfort and help just in the written out prayers that others have written. And I probably have at least four or five books on my bookshelf just sitting behind me right now of this type of a written out prayer that engages with scripture, but is thoughtful and helps me in a sense have a prayer partner even when I don't have a prayer partner. Are there any helps like that that have encouraged you over the years?
Well, if anything, I mentioned Phil Bloom before, and he was a very simple man. He was a car salesman. So his prayers were really in first semester words, was really, you know, right down to it, you know. And one of them, he said, there's only one prayer that we know had got an answer. And what is it? Have mercy on me, Lord. Mm-hmm. I am a sinner. Mm-hmm. So simple words, then you're prone to say the Lord's Prayer in the Word, you know. When Jesus asked the apostles, when they asked him, Lord, teach us, he didn't say teach us, have us pray, teach us to pray, how to pray. But then he answered, when you pray, he's assuming already they are praying, right?
That's right.
And then he said, when you pray, this is what you do. These are the important things, you know, right?
Yes.
So you look at the highlights of the Lord's Prayer, the highlights of it, and put your words to it, you know.
That's good.
And maybe take just one area of it, you know,
yes.
Right? If you don't have any money to buy groceries, give us today our daily bread.
Yeah.
Not for 4 weeks out. Give us today our daily bread.
You know, right? You know, I was with a group of people in Cuba last week, and one of the fellows who was with us is 75 years old, and he has just come. He's a very new believer. He's just come to faith, and if you hear his life story, you would add against all odds.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable, one, that he's lived through what he's lived through, but he reads his Bible every day, but in many senses, he's very much a new believer. And he told me, sitting next to each other on the bus as we rode along in the Cuban countryside, he said, David, I'm struggling to pray. He said, it's not that I don't want to. I want to talk to God,
mm-hmm.
but my words fail me. Like, I don't know what to say. I begin to pray and say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. And I just kind of feel stuck. I don't quite know what to say next. And I thought, you know, this is a good conversation for me to be having right now. I mean, I've followed Christ for so many years that I kind of take it for granted that it's not difficult to sit down and put words together, let alone speak them out loud, which he was saying, I have trouble just praying in private, praying with a group of people or even one more person is next to impossible for me just because I'm dumbstruck. I'm not sure what to say. Mm-hmm. Curious if you have any thoughts on that.
What are you thinking about? Tell God what you're thinking about. Are you mad at him? Mm. Tell him about it. I mean, he wants to hear you. He hears your prayers, right? He assures us. Tell him. Mm-hmm. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer has what he calls Stoßgebete, bullet prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sees somebody coming, he knows him, pray for him right there, you know. Mm-hmm. Pray for the conversation you have with him. Or if it's a difficult one, pray for your opposer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, your thought, God knows him already.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell God. Be honest with them, you know,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, don't say sweet words if you're angry with them, you know, right?
Yes.
He knows it already.
Right? Yeah, that's right, be honest. Be honest with him, yeah.
But simple words, you know, right?
Yeah. It's not a performance.
Yeah.
God's not evaluating or grading your prayer.
That's right. You're out on stage, right? Yeah.
Well, Horst, for the person who's listening, and although we do have a theme this week of parents praying for adult children, the reality is that we're talking about the deep burdens of concern that weigh on our souls. You know, there are people walking around all the time within the church and outside the church. Everybody carries something that's very, very heavy, and oftentimes it's not well known. And we can despair of hope, you know. We can begin to wonder if the Lord's even listening. And many times it's our children, especially adult children. But for whatever it might be, and for the listener today who is listening and thinks, I know what that is in my life, and I'm discouraged. Would you just pray now for them, for that listener, and for the encouragement that they need and we need to stay fervent in prayer?
Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, the creator of the universe, the judge of the universe, Father. We have the privilege of coming to the throne of grace with our concerns, with our praises, with our complaints even, that you can very well handle. Father, I pray especially for those people who, and I'm including myself, who have prayed for adult children, mm-hmm. adult grandchildren, for their faith, for you to move in their hearts, to come mm-hmm. to you for with repentance for yes. their sin, for their life that they live. Father, with no results that we can see, Father. We are persisting in prayer, Father, as we're told in Scripture, never to give up, to wait for you. Mm-hmm. Wait. Wait is a prominent word in Scripture, Father, and we have a hard time with it. Mm-hmm. But help us to be waiting for your answer, for your response, Father. Mm-hmm. Whether it be yes or no, or wait a while. Father, we only granted, promised that you hear our prayers, but what you do with it, on your side, and we ask you to add with grace and mercy toward those children and toward our grandchildren, Father, mm-hmm. to save them, to bring them to faith in you, to trust in you. I pray in Christ's name. I pray that you bring glory to your name in the way you deal and clean up and screen our prayers. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Horst Fiebig, thank you for sitting down with us and for blessing us on this Haven today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Great Stories by Haven Today. My name is David Wolin, and I want to say thank you, especially to Horst Fiebig, for sharing with us today. And as we wrap up, I also want to share with you Kathleen Nielsen's book, Prayers of a Parent for Adult Children. The first time I came across this book just a few months ago, I knew this was something we just had to get into your hands. In the book, Kathleen shares that she originally wrote these prayers for her own three sons, which means these aren't hypothetically helpful. They're field tested, so to speak. And the result is intentional, scripture-saturated prayers that really just cover the waterfront of what parents of adult children face today in 2024. So to receive your copy, just visit haventoday.org, where you can also view a sample to get a sense of what these prayers look like in print. And then, of course, you can make your gift to support Haven, and we'll send you Prayers of a Parent for Adult Children. It's our thank you for your gift. For more conversations like this, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, please help us get the word out by leaving a 5-star review. That helps. And you can also go to haventoday.org. You can sign up there for our weekly email and discover additional episodes posted on our blog. And as always, thank you for joining me once again on Great Stories by Haven Today.